Let's welcome up Matt.
Morning, everybody. Everybody have a good fourth? Everybody still has all their fingers, so no firework accidents, so that's good. Praise God for that. Well, if you've been around here, you know well, we're working through the book of Ephesians, as David has said. And as we mentioned, the first three chapters are basically summing up what God has done for us through his Spirit and God's working in us. And then the next three chapters talk about our response to what God has done. And so that's what we've been getting into and talking about. And last week we talked about how God has transformed us from darkness into light. And what does that mean? And how God has called us to walk as children of light. And what does that mean? What does that look like? So today we're kind of continuing on that, talking about as children of light, as the light, how has God called us to work in and interact with the dark world around us? So that's what we're getting into today, okay, and where we're going. And I've got to remember to try to stay focused for the camera. Hi, camera people. Anybody watching? So if I wander too far away, then I'll try to drag myself back. So first of all, anybody ever been, like this ever played out in your home? You're sitting around, you're talking about something in your home, like, hey, you know, it'd be cool to have this or something like that. And then you jump onto Facebook or on Amazon or something, and boom, there's an ad for whatever you were talking about that just suddenly appeared. Anybody ever had that happen? I've had that happen, I know, and it's just like, creepy. And then more and more, there's that concern that's going out there about people thinking, is the government watching me? Are they tracing my phone? Are they listening to every conversation that's happening? Are they listening in today to what we're preaching here? Are they watching us, no matter what we're doing, through the computer, through the camera on our phone or on our computer? Are they watching? And there's all that concern out there, and some of it is legitimate, like, yeah, I mean, I don't want anybody invading my privacy kind of concern. But some people, it's, what are they going to find out as they watch on that? Because there are some dark secrets out there that they might not want the government to find out about or know about. It's tax season coming up. Maybe it's related to taxes. Who knows? Maybe it's related to what we look at the internet. Who knows? But there's that fear out there, like, what are they going to find, too? What are they going to see? So today what we're talking about, we're getting into, is God has called us to expose the darkness, exposing the darkness around us. Basically, all the secrets and all the dirt coming out on the table and getting dealt with. So the big idea in this is that God has made us light to expose the darkness around us so that it will become light, okay? God has made us light to expose the darkness around it, but not just stopping there, but so that that darkness would become light. So if you can jump with me back into Ephesians, we're going to read Ephesians, and we're going to do 11 through 14. So this is Ephesians 5. 11 through 14. Take no part in the unfruitful works of darkness, but instead expose them. For it is shameful even to speak of the things that they do in secret. But when anything is exposed by the light, it becomes visible. For anything that becomes visible is light. Therefore it says, awake, O sleeper, and arise from the dead, and Christ will shine on you. Let's pray. Father, we just thank you for your word and for your truth. And Lord, thank you that you are the light and that in your grace and mercy that you have made us light. And Lord, in that, Father, I pray that as we dig into your word today, Father, that by the power of your Spirit, that you would enlighten our minds and enlighten our hearts, Father, to see and to understand your word, Lord, and to understand who we are as children of light, and how you've called us to live in this dark world, Father. I just pray that you would give us illumination into that, Father, and that it wouldn't just be head knowledge, but, Lord, that you would incline our hearts and incline our actions and our minds and our thoughts, Lord, that we would live out as you've called us to live as children of light, Lord, not just on Sunday mornings, but all through the week and all that we do, that you would be glorified in and through us. And everybody said, amen. Amen. Okay. So we're going to work our way through this here. So the first verse talks about, it says, take no part in the unfruitful works of darkness. So what are, it's, same exhortation that we started with last week, if you guys remember. Don't become partners in sin. Don't become participants in sin. Same idea, except for this one continues with an exhortation to expose those works. So what are works of darkness? Again, quick recap. Works of darkness are basically anything that is contrary to what pleases God. Anything that essentially angers God then in turn. And that's essentially talking about sin, which goes against the nature of who God is. And how do we recognize what sin is? What is darkness? Again, as we talked about, the Bible. That's our main source, to dig into the Bible, to understand what pleases God, who our God is, who he is, what pleases him, what makes him happy, and who has he created us to be. Again, that's what we're talking about. And he says, take no part in the unfruitful works of darkness. And we talked about fruit last week. He's talking about bearing fruit that pleases God and not bearing any unfruitful. Basically, if you're walking in sin or in darkness, you are not bearing any fruit for God. And the Bible is very clear in there that the unfruitful tree is cut down and thrown into the fire. So again, not to partake in the unfruitful works of darkness that bear no fruit, but instead expose those things. And that's what we're going to get into today. And the first part is our light should expose the darkness around us. Our light, as Christians, should expose the darkness around us. So you see, it's not just a commandment to abstain from sin, although he's definitely called us to do that. But now he's going beyond that to how we relate to sin, and he's talking about exposing that. So what does it mean to expose sin? What does it mean to expose it? And if you understand light and darkness, that's the main way, because God uses those analogies, because God created those things. God uses his creation to be an example to us of how to live. So you understand light by its very nature exposes darkness. We would not even really know what darkness was unless there was light. If you'd grown up in a cave without any light at all, you would have no idea what light was. But then, boom, light came. Like in the beginning, there was darkness in all the universe. And that's the way it was. And God said, let there be light. Boom, the angels are like, what's that? It's light. Oh, I don't know what it was. But we see that contrast. The contrast is what makes the darkness, what exposes it more or less. So it's just like if you go into a closet and you turn on a light. All of a sudden, all the darkness that was in that closet becomes light. And if the light's bright enough, it shows you everything that's in that closet. And if it's like closets in our house, you see a lot of junk in that closet. You see lots of dust and cobwebs, or you shine a flashlight on a ledge or something like that. You see everything that gets hidden is suddenly exposed when the light comes on it. It's like a number of you guys have kids. We'll tell the kids, go clean your room because the floor's a mess. And they'll go clean it and they'll come down in like a minute. And you're like, there's no physical possible way that you could have cleaned your room. Yeah, you go up there and lo and behold, the floor is clean. And you're like, huh, wait a minute here. Then I'll go over, and this, my daughter Izzy's good at this, and I'll look under her desk in there, and it's like jam-packed to the top with all this stuff that she's just kind of bulldozed into that corner because she's hiding it. She's just like, well, hide it in there so nobody will see. And she's good at that with like food too. I don't know. Sometimes she'll like say, she's eating, and she'll be eating something that she doesn't really like, and she'll say, I just need to go use the bathroom. And she'll take her plate in there. We're like, why are you taking your plate in the bathroom? And she'll say, well, I'm just going to eat it in there. I'm just going to eat it in there real quick. Oh, okay. And then lo and behold, she comes out a minute later, and her plate's empty. And we're like, where did that go? She said, I ate it. And then one of the kids will go in there, because they like to tattletale on their sisters, turn on the light, and there's nothing visible in the garbage or in the toilet, but you peel off a layer of garbage and lo and behold, there's food in the garbage can. Like, and then there's the shame and guilt that comes in like, uh-oh, when they've been found out, exposing the darkness. So that's kind of what we're talking about today, is exposing the darkness. You see, the world that we live in is full of darkness. The world that we live in is in darkness, essentially. It's ruled by the sin nature. And that's stereotypically and characterized by the desire to please ourselves above God. The desire to please ourself above God is the darkness. It is our sin nature. It's our ignorance of God, and not just our ignorance of God, our denial of God himself. You see, the light that is in us is the light of Christ. It's God's holiness and truth that's on display in us, as we talked about last week. And just like a light in a dark closet, that light that God has put in us, he's designed it and put that in us so that it can shine brightly in the world around us to expose the sin and the darkness in the world by its contrast. You see, that's how it works. That contrast of light and darkness exposes the darkness. If you look at verse 12 in this Ephesians 1, it says, "For it is shameful even to speak of the things that they do in secret." So what he's talking about in there is the need to expose the darkness. And to do that, we really need to recognize the horror of what sin is. You see, all of us, me included, we all think too lightly of our sin. We all think too lightly of what sin is in general. And the sin in the world around us. All of that stuff we all think too lightly of. Because the darkness hides the ugliness of it. The ugliness of what sin really is. And we need the light to see it. See, if we came on church on Sunday and we did record everything on your phone and stuff like that, and let's just say we played on the screen up there all of your thoughts and all of your actions for the week. How many would come to church if that played every week on the screen? How many? I wouldn't come. Well, and that's because there's these things that are in us, that sin that's in us, that darkness that's in us, and we need to understand how horrible that is. You see, sin is a rejection of God every time. It's unbelief in God, and it is a rejection of God. And the Bible even describes it as adultery against God. We have that covenant relationship with God, our Creator, our Savior. And when we sin against him, that is adultery. Most of us, Lord willing, would never think of committing adultery against our wife. But we need to understand we do it every day in our relationship with God. That is the ugliness and horror of sin. And I was thinking about this and planning it and challenged me. When was the last time that we wept over our own sin? Or that we wept over the sin in what we saw around us? Think about that. When was the last time that you wept over a sin that you were dealing with or struggling with? When was the last time that you wept over a sin that you saw in the world around you, be it abortion or an adulterous affair or drugs or whatever it might be? When was the last time that sin drove you to weeping? You see it constantly in the Bible. You see it in Jesus himself when he wept over Jerusalem and wept over their sin. When do we weep over our sin? Lord, help us to understand the ugliness of sin and what it really is. That's my prayer for all of us. Because if we really understood what sin was and how horrible and ugly it was, man, we would live a lot more pure lives than we do now. Okay, back on track. So it's darkness and sin. We need to understand how ugly it is. That's why I put that in there too. And it's never for idle talk or gossip. Sin is never a subject for idle talk or gossip, just conversing about sin. That's why I said it's shameful even to speak about. The only purpose in speaking about it should be for the purpose of exposing it so that it can be changed. Okay? Not gossip time. Again, darkness or sin is contrary to the very nature of God. And the Bible talks about anyone whose lifestyle is characterized by such darkness has no place in God's coming kingdom of light. As we talked about last week, God's kingdom to come, that new kingdom and new earth, new heaven and new earth, is all light, and darkness has no place in it. We must, as David said before, we have to put sin to death before sin puts us to death. But the problem is, the world is in ignorance of its sin. Most people are really in ignorance of their sin. They might recognize that what they're doing is wrong, but they don't recognize what they're doing is a sin against God himself. If you jump back to Ephesians 2 real quick, in verse 1 he talks about, "You were dead in the trespasses of your sins, in which you once walked, following the course of this world, following the power of the prince of the air, the spirit that is now at work in the sons of disobedience." So they're just following the course of this world blindly, focused on gratifying self, living that life of darkness. And you see, exposing that darkness is the first step towards overcoming that darkness. We need to open the people's blind eyes so people can see and understand the horror of sin when it's compared to the brilliant holiness of God and who He is. And what that does is it brings about conviction. Everybody say conviction. Conviction. Do we like conviction? Everybody's guessing, what does he want me to say? You see, conviction is a gift from God. Conviction is a gift from God. Because you think about it, we don't like conviction. I don't like conviction. When I'm doing something wrong and my wife says, you know, you really shouldn't have done that, come down on your kids like that or do this, like, what are you talking about? We don't like conviction. But we need it. It is a gift from God, because what it is doing is it's pointing out, it's exposing our darkness so that it can be dealt with. It helps us to recognize our sin so that we can deal with it. And it leads us to another gift, which is called repentance. And we'll get that into that as we get along. So conviction is a gift. So the light exposes the darkness to bring about conviction, okay? So how do we expose the darkness? If you turn with me again, we're going to go to Matthew chapter 5. So Matthew chapter 5, 14 through 16. Matthew 5, 14 through 16. You, that's all of us as believers, are the light of the world. A city set on a hill cannot be hidden, nor do people light a lamp and put it under a basket, but out on a stand, and it gives light to all in the house. In the same way, let your light shine before others, so they may see your good works and give glory to your Father who is in heaven. So one, he's talking about in here the very nature of light again. Light is not given so that it doesn't shine. Light that doesn't shine isn't light. A flashlight that doesn't work, even with new batteries, you pitch it. It's useless. It doesn't help. Light is meant to light the darkness. That's what it's supposed to do. And he says, so let your light so shine before men that they see your works and give glory to God. You see, how we expose the darkness is by living out in the world and living a lifestyle of being children of light. Like we talked about last week, living out those fruits of the spirits, the kindness, love, gentleness, self-control. Also showing forth compassion, serving others, loving others, and showing the hope that we have within us. And it's also by the words that we speak as we share our faith and the reason for the hope that we have within us. And we share the reason for our joy. And we share Christ our Savior and what He has done for us and on our behalf. You see, that should be the natural result of our life. Light should by nature shine. That's the very nature of what light is. And we need to shine out there for people to see. I remember I was in college, and I'm sure I probably shared this story before, but I was in a college class and an English class, and the teacher put on this movie for us to watch, and it was not a good movie, not one I'd watch with the kids. I mean, there was nudity in it and a lot of language and stuff like that, and yeah, because that was okay, I guess, to do. And so they're watching this video, and of course, I'm watching it like this, like, okay, I'm listening, kind of, watching it like this, praise God for His grace in my life. And there's another girl in the class who knew I was a Christian. We'd had conversations before. And after class, we were walking out, and I was talking to this girl for a minute, and she's like, so how do you like the movie? And I said, it wasn't my favorite. And she said, I know, I was watching you the whole time. Because she was watching to see how I would react. She knew what I believed, and she was watching to see what was I going to do in that? How was I going to react? And you see, the world is watching us as Christians. And we are on a display, like he's talking about on there. We're a light on a stand for all to see. God has put us there so that we can shine. And I'm sure in that, she recognized and realized that movie was not good based on how I was reacting to it. Let our light shine so that people can see it and expose the darkness. You see, to do that, though, you have to recognize one thing. To do that, to be a light in the darkness, then you have to be where? In the darkness, exactly. Your light has to be in the darkness to shine. We need to be in the world and around unbelievers, and we need to look for opportunities to do this. You look at Jesus' life, he was constantly around unbelievers because he said, the sick need a doctor, not the healthy. He came to lead people to Christ. And so he was in there. He was eating with unbelievers and teaching them and talking to them. Jesus was constantly around unbelievers to be a light. And that's where the church sometimes fails, because we get in these holy huddles or these holy cliques where we're just hanging around with each other and we don't go hang out there with others and connect with others. And that's wrong. That's not who God has called us to be. God has called us to be a light in the darkness. He said in John 17, I have not come to take them out of the world, because God has put us in this world on purpose to be a light in this dark world. And that's where we need to be. We need to look around for those opportunities and where we can be around unbelievers and where we can be a part of them so that we can let our light shine. And how much are we around them? Like we learned about last week in verse 7, he says, don't become partners in sin. Don't become participants in them. You're not going to reach out to people in the bar by going and getting drunk with them. People will go out and have a drink in the bar or something. But if you're going to go and, like, snort cocaine or do drugs with somebody, you're not a light. I'm sorry. It's just not happening. Go watch a bad movie with them or something. You're not a light. God's called us to be a light. We can be around unbelievers but not participate in those sins. A good friend described it before. It's like kind of going and sitting on a block of ice out in the world. If you sit on a block of ice and you're melting it, then stay there. You're doing something good. But if you're sitting on a block of ice and all that's happening is your butt's getting cold, then it's not a good place to be. Get up and move. In the same way, we need to be out there in the world and sitting on that block of ice in that darkness and letting our light shine to change it. I.e., if we're changing the circumstances around us, stay there. But if the circumstances are changing you, get out of it. Everybody get that? Okay. So we need to be in the world and letting our light shine around us. So the question is, are you letting your light shine around you in the darkness? Are you out there in the darkness letting your light shine? If you're in the darkness and you're not letting your light shine, you're not doing anything. And if you're not in the darkness at all, you're also not doing anything. Second part we get into is what happens when the darkness is exposed. The Bible says, if you jump with me back to Ephesians, in verse 13 he says, but when anything is exposed by the light, it becomes visible. For anything that becomes visible is light. So when the darkness is exposed, it becomes light. When you turn on the light in the closet becomes light. Then that's what God's called us to do. You see, light by its very nature transforms the darkness to become light. That's its very nature. As we talked about last week, you'll never bring, if a flashlight is working and has good batteries, don't get technical, but if you bring that into a closet, as soon as you get in the darkness, the flashlight isn't going to go out. The darkness isn't going to transform the light into darkness. Rather, that flashlight is going to transform the darkness into light. That's its very nature. You see, it's useless if all that our light does is expose the darkness. If all we do is point out, ha, you're a sinner, you're a sinner, you're a sinner. All those sins, if that's all that we do, we're missing the point. We're not accomplishing anything. All we're doing is we're showing them their failure and their lack of hope and then shutting the door and leaving them in darkness. You see, by nature, we must transform that darkness into light to bring life and hope to death and despair. Jump with me again. We're going to go to John 3:16, the classic. But we're not just going to read John 3:16. We'll go beyond it. So John 3:16. For God so loved the world that he gave his only Son, that whoever believes in him should not perish but have eternal life. For God did not send his Son into the world to condemn the world, but in order that the world might be saved through him. Whoever believes in him is not condemned, but whoever does not believe is condemned already, because he has not believed in the name of the only Son of God. And this is the judgment. The light has come into the world, and people love darkness rather than the light, because their works were evil. For everyone who does wicked things hates the light and does not come to the light, lest his work should be exposed. But whoever does what is true comes to the light, so that it might be clearly seen that his works have been carried out in God. And what he's talking about there is basically a litmus test. I mean, if we're just like, if our life is an open book, we are light. But if we're hiding, closing in and hiding our sin, then there's darkness there. And you look in here, in verse 18, it's a, verse 17, God did not send his son into the world to condemn the world, but in order that the world might be saved through him. You see, Jesus didn't come just to expose the darkness and condemn it, like, you're a sinner. That's not how he came. He came, you're a sinner. You need grace. You need salvation. And then to change them, to transform them. And it talks about, but people resist that light because it exposes their sins. And that's what you're going to see. People don't want their sin exposed. None of us want our sin exposed. It leads to that thing called conviction that you guys all said was bad, but I told you is good. you see, when the ugliness of sin is revealed, it shows that they need to deal with it. When our sin is revealed, it shows that it needs to get dealt with. And we realize that we have the inability in and of ourselves to deal with it. So it shows us a need for a Savior. That's what conviction does. It shows us a need for a Savior when our darkness is exposed. Turn with me again to Acts 3. Acts 3, 17 through 20. And this is Peter preaching to the multitude after he's healed a blind or a lame beggar. He says, "And now, brothers," talking to unbelievers, "I know that you acted in ignorance, as did your rulers when you killed the Christ. But what God foretold by the mouth of all the prophets, that his Christ would suffer, he thus fulfilled. Repent, therefore, and turn again, that your sins may be blotted out, and that times of refreshing may come from the presence of the Lord, and that he may send the Christ appointed for you, Jesus." See, now we get into the next thing. Conviction then leads to repentance. Everybody say repentance. Is repentance a gift or not?
Yes.
Good job. You see, that's the next step in the process. We have conviction, and then comes repentance. And repentance is a gift from God because it is the vessel that God uses to move us from darkness into light. The Bible in here, it says that your sins may be blotted out. That's canceling the darkness and turning on the light, essentially, and refreshing from God's, coming from God's presence. And repentance isn't, it sounds like a fancy word, but all it is confessing our sin before God, asking for God's forgiveness, receiving it, and then turning away from our sin and changing our lifestyle. It doesn't mean we're going to be perfect after that, but it's a conscious work of God's Spirit to turn us away from our sin, where we recognize the horror and ugliness of our sin, and we turn from it and turn towards following God afresh. You see, in Jesus and John, their early message when they first started was, repent, for the kingdom of God is at hand. Repent, for the kingdom of God is at hand. They were talking about turning people away from their sin. Because, and again, they were saying, do it while there's still time, because there cannot be darkness in the coming kingdom of light that God is bringing. One last scripture here, 2 Corinthians 4. 2 Corinthians 4, 4 through 6. In their case, the God of this world has blinded the minds of the unbelievers to keep them from seeing the light of the gospel of glory of Christ, who is the image of God. For what we proclaim is not ourselves, but Jesus Christ is Lord, with ourselves as your servants for Jesus' sake. For God, who said, let light shine out of darkness, has shown in our hearts to give the light of the knowledge of the glory of God in the face of Christ. Again, he starts off talking about this world is blind. The God of this world has blinded the minds of unbelievers to keep them from seeing the gospel of glory. He's blinded their minds so they can't recognize their sin. They can't recognize the light, really, to understand who the light is. And then he talks, for God has shined in our hearts to give light and knowledge. You see, God has made us light, but with a purpose, so that we can be a light. God has shined in our hearts so that we can give the light of knowledge of the glory of God. God has shined on us so that we can give that out. All of it is a work of God in us. It's God shining in us. It's God putting that light in us. We can't be light in and of ourselves. We can't be. We have too much sin in the way, but Jesus dealt with that sin when he died on the cross, and he shined his light into our heart and made us light so that we can shine out to the world of darkness around us. Ultimately, the purpose of that is to guide people to Jesus. The purpose of it isn't to say, wow, Kelly, you're such a good man, or Warren, you're such a great businessman. I appreciate your integrity. That's not the end-all purpose in it. That's great. That's an awesome start. But the end-all purpose in that is saying, wow, Kelly, Warren, look at the work that God has done in you. God has done an amazing work in you to make you who you are. It's to point people to Christ and what Christ has done in us and to his beauty and glory. It reveals the truth that was hidden in the darkness as the blindness of sin is taken away. And it reveals the truth of the gospel, that the Bible is real and that Jesus died for our sins. You see, just as Christ came to be the light of the world, God has now made us light and appointed us to go out and be his ambassadors in the dark world. Christ came as the light of the world in John 1. Christ came as the light, and now he has left and he has given us his Holy Spirit, and he has made us light so that we can be a light to the world around us. And the natural effect of that of light is to make the darkness into light. So we need to let our words and our actions shine brightly in this dark world. And even now, especially now, in the midst of everything happening with COVID, in the midst of everything happening with racial injustice and all the things that are making the headlines now, how can we be a light in this darkened world? Lots of opportunity now, Lord willing, and I pray that God would give us his grace and wisdom and how to use it. As we talked about last week, it's not about doing what's our American rights or anything like that. It's about what pleases God, what gives glory to God, because that's what we should be living out. That's what we should be doing, letting our light shine before other people. Because the purpose of it all is to see God glorified and the darkness turn into light as sinners turn from their sin, get their blinders taken off, see the beauty and glory of Christ, and turn to him as our light shine. You see, God is describing the path of all of this that we see in Ephesians is God describing for us the path to conversion for an unbeliever. First step, the believer lives a lifestyle of light, a lifestyle of being a child of light, and lets their light shine in the dark world. And then that light brings the gift of, what's the first thing? Conviction. Brings the first thing of conviction towards people as their darkness is exposed and they see that and recognize that. And then that person then gets to experience the gift of? Hey, you guys are awesome. The gift of repentance that God has given us as they turn from that darkness and turn to Christ. And then that unbeliever is turned from darkness into a child of light as their darkness becomes light. And then what happens? The process repeats itself and grows. It's discipleship. You see, all we can control is step one. That's what we can control. We can go out there and be a light in the world. And as John described, some people are going to choose the darkness. Some people are going to choose to live in the darkness. They won't want their sins to be exposed. But what we control is we can go out and we can live as children of light and show them the light. You see, God has made us light by his death on the cross that destroyed the darkness that was within us, because we were all once children of darkness. But somebody else lived the light of light, or lived a lifestyle of light, and helped us experience the gift of conviction and the gift of repentance so that we can be transformed. And now we get to do that in turn. We can let our light shine out so that we can help be a part of God's plan to save people from darkness and death and give glory to God as they experience hope and life and turn to him. I said one last scripture, but I got one as we get ready to close here. Luke 12. If you jump to Luke 12 here. In the meantime, when so many thousands of people, Luke 12:1, when so many thousands of people had gathered together that they were trampling one another, he began to say to his disciples first, "Beware of the leaven of the Pharisees, which is hypocrisy. Nothing is covered up that will not be revealed, or hidden that will not be made known. Therefore, whatever you have said in the dark shall be heard in the light, and what you have whispered in private rooms shall be proclaimed on the housetops." You see, as we talked about before, one day all of our sins are going to be played on the projector screen. Everything's going to be laid out and made bare. Everything's going to be visible one day. The question is it going to happen in this life and going to be dealt with in this life, or is it going to be before the judgment seat of God? Personally, by God's grace, man, I want to deal with all the darkness now. And I want other people who are living in darkness now to deal with it now. I don't want them standing before the throne of God in judgment when all their sin and darkness is revealed there. It's not time to delay. You see, and my challenge in this is that as a believer, one, that we would let God search within us, look within the darkness of us to expose any dark corners in us. I mean, as God told us to clean the house, and we, like my daughter, shoveling all the sin into one little corner, like, I don't want to get rid of it, but I'll just hide it. God knows. Just like parents, God knows. He's even better than parents. God knows all of our sin. He knows all of our junk. Deal with it. Deal with it. Let the gift of conviction and repentance be a pathway that helps you to deal with that sin. Deal with that sin. And make it gone. And that's part of the purpose of life groups and discipleship groups, so that we can be in the presence of others who help expose the light, expose dark corners in each other. I mean, that you're around other believers that, and by their testimony, by their words, by their sharing, by them speaking into us, we recognize some of our own sin. And that's God bringing it to light. You see, conviction, again, is God's work. It's God's Spirit bringing those things to light, so that we can deal with them. It's a gift from God. So when God brings conviction, man, it better get your attention, because that's God calling on you to deal with it and to take care of it through the gift of repentance. And also in that, to let your light shine out. If you're a believer, let your light shine out. Let your light shine out. Be in the world, but not of it, as the Bible talks about. Be in the darkness. And be around unbelievers and let your light shine by your actions and by your words. Let your light shine and seek opportunities for that. And if you're not a believer in Christ, if you've never known him and you don't know that light that he brings, this is God showing you that light, and this is God helping give you that conviction. Come to the light. As Luke said that we read about, all of our sins are going to be exposed one day. All of them are going to be open and plain and bare to see. And God knows all of them already right now. Deal with them now. Deal with them in this life. Better now than before the throne of God and when God comes to judge. Deal with it now. Come to Christ in repentance and experience the gift of life and light that he gives as he transforms you into a child of light. If we could have the worship team come up. We're going to close and do communion here. Because you see, how does communion relate to all this? Man, it is the source of all of it. It is the reason for all of it. You see, exposing our sin helps us to realize the ugliness and horror of what sin is. And again, it leads to conviction and shows us our own inability to deal with our own sin. We can't deal with our own sin. Maybe we could become moral, but that doesn't cut it with God. It's about turning away from sin and turning to a life that pleases God. And that is why we needed a Savior. And that Savior is Jesus. And all that gift of repentance that he gives us, if it wasn't for Jesus, we would have conviction. And we'd recognize our darkness, but we'd be trapped. We'd be stuck in it. We'd be hopeless. We'd be lost. But he gives us that gift of conviction. And now by his death on the cross, he gives us the gift of repentance. Because Jesus, he talks about, he took his body. He offered up his body as a sacrifice in our stead for our sins that we could not deal with. and he let his body be broken instead of our body be broken. He let his blood be shed, which is why we celebrate with the wine. He let his body be broken so that our blood, or his blood be shed so that our blood would not be shed. He took the weight of the horror and the ugliness of our sin upon himself when he died on the cross. And that's what we get to celebrate as we partake of communion and what we get to remember. We get to receive that gift of forgiveness, that gift of repentance that God's given us, and remember what it cost. Because that helps us to appreciate the beauty and glory of who Christ is and what he's done. If we recognize the ugliness of our sin, we will recognize more and more the beauty and the glory of God's grace towards us that he displayed on the cross. Close with this benediction. May God be gracious to us and bless us and make his face shine upon us again so that we can be light. That your way may be known on the earth and your saving power among all nations so that we can be a light. Let all the people praise you, O God. Let all the peoples praise you. Let the nations be glad and sing for joy, for you judge the peoples of the earth with equity and guide the nations upon the earth. Let all the peoples praise you, O God. Let all the peoples praise you. God bless you guys. Go out and be a light to the world around you. God bless you guys. Have a great week.